You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Well, hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Julia Chien, and we talk about how a relationship breakup and a business led her to making the decision to buy a one-way plane ticket to a foreign country and what happened after that. There are a couple of things that stand out to me about this conversation, and one of them is because I've now had several conversations with people who've made a similar decision to the one that Julia made. And there's a through line between some of these conversations, which is that people describe themselves as having lost themselves or losing themselves. One of the things that I'm noticing as the observer who's on the other side of these conversations that I find interesting, and you might too, is that there's variety in what people lose themselves to. So same description, similar solution finding process by each person, but variety in what set it off. So I asked Julia a lot of fascinating but pragmatic questions, if I do say so myself, that would make my fifth grade English teacher proud in this conversation. Like, what did you do with your stuff? And how did you decide where you wanted to go and for how long? And the biggie, why? So I think you're going to love this story. So let's get to it. Julia Chien, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I'm super excited.
Yay. All right. So I start all of my conversations by asking my guests what part of the world they're call home. Where are you?
I'm in Vancouver, BC.
I love that. I love that. I was tipped off from your email address that it might be Canada, but you never know these days. You really never know. So next question, still warm up, just for fun, getting to know you. I want to ask, what is the last compliment that you gave someone? It can be something small. It can be earlier today, but what's the last kind thing you shared with somebody else?
Actually, my mom.
Very nice. How did you compliment her?
Well, she generously gave me a ride to the gym yesterday. She's really busy. So that was nice. I was like, thank you, Mom, for doing that. She didn't have to do that. So
very nice. Very nice. I love it. Yes. No, appreciation is as a mom who has driven people around for a long time. I speak on behalf of your mom. Thank you for the compliment. Thank you for seeing us. There are times where you feel like a taxi driver for sure. All right. So the topic of the day is how a one-way plane ticket set you on a path for an amazing adventure that you call challenging, spiritual, and healing. First question, share with the audience. I know part of the answer already because I read it on your intake form, but share with us, what was the destination of that one-way plane ticket?
Beautiful Costa Rica.
So, and were you in Vancouver then? So it was Vancouver to San Jose.
Yeah. So it was Vancouver, stopover in the United States, and then
San Jose. All right. Very good. Okay. So we're going to back up to before you did this, because I have some questions. I have some questions about this. Obviously, stuff was going on in your life because you did not do a round trip ticket. And that was not, I think, accidental, right? So let's do talk about what was going on in your life at the time that had you click one way instead of round trip on this ticket.
Yeah. So where do I even begin? Because I feel like it'll be a little bit of a long story, but
So there were three things you told me, and then you can go through them because sometimes it's easier that way, right?
Yeah.
You said a breakup from a long-term relationship, right, a year going all in your business, and healing from a health condition.
Right. Okay. Yes. So in 2022, this was the end of the year. That's when I booked the one-way flight to Costa Rica. I had recently left a healthy long-term relationship of 3.5 years earlier on in that year. And at the same time, I've always been working online with my business, fully remote with my work. And during that time, I just felt like a calling to just leave for some reason. I was just like, okay, I just want to see outside of where I grew up because I've been in Vancouver all my life. And I remember looking for a ticket and I was like, oh, Costa Rica sounds like something that was called to me, and I was hesitating to buy a one-way ticket because I've never traveled alone by myself before, let alone to a country where people think it's unsafe, right? I mean, of course, there's certain parts that would be considered that, but that's what led me to wanting to book this one-way ticket. It was because of this breakup, and I was trying to discover, you know, life outside of where I grew up, because I've been so used to being here in Vancouver and I never really traveled as much as I wanted to. So there was that. And then being fully remote with my work, I was like, why not? Why not travel? And why not, you know, look at experience other places, other countries while I can work at the same time. It's very nice to be able to do that. And then speaking on to healing from a chronic condition. So I grew up with eczema, okay, and it used to be really, really bad. I went through a whole journey, but this was back in 2015 when I started my holistic healing journey. And I could never really travel as much that time when I was growing up with my parents, because I would always have to worry about my skin, worry about carrying my steroid cream. So that one-way ticket, having my skin being the best it's ever been, kind of led me towards more of that confidence around being able to travel and do things for myself, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. All right. So the health condition got under control. And so you no longer felt like you needed to be stationary to manage it and stay healthy. And you became aware of the fact that if you were remote, you could be remote. You didn't have to be at home in Vancouver for your job because it didn't matter. And then you have this breakup. Now, so the breakup was a long relationship. It was 3 years. And you say it was a healthy relationship, good relationship. Did you think before the breakup that it might be a forever relationship, or like was it just like, okay, this is just a relationship and it's over?
It's a really good question. I did feel like it was going to be a forever relationship. And then near the end of it, so the last few months before the official breakup, things just weren't aligning in terms of our values and what we wanted in life. And I think actually, you know, thinking back now, starting my business actually impacted our relationship in a way where we just weren't in alignment anymore.
Okay. All right. So even though it was a healthy relationship, it's a pretty big shift, because there's at least a part of your past where you were like, oh, this is it. I'm never going to do this again. This is forever. And so that was a big emotional shift. Okay. So if you had to describe your state of mind, you're surfing online, you're looking at the tickets, so on and so forth. I'm curious, can you describe your state of mind on that day that you bought the airplane ticket? Because I'm curious, what made you choose one way instead of doing, you know, 3 weeks and coming home?
Oh, I love this question because I remember being on the page and being like, should I change this ticket to round trip? Like, is this stupid of me to book a one-way ticket, not knowing what the plan is, where I'm going?
Yeah.
And I think I just did it. I was like, you know what? I can always book a ticket back home if I hate it.
Okay.
Right. What is there to lose?
Okay.
It's not like I'm going too far away, right? It's still relatively close enough to fly back home if I really needed to. And there's nothing in Vancouver that I'm bound to. Like, I didn't have like rent that I had to actually worry about, because at that time, well, sorry, I did have rent that I was paying, but I was actually living with my sister at the time, because after the breakup, I needed somewhere to go.
Yeah.
She generously let me stay at her place for like it was like $600 a month or something like that. So I didn't have to worry about, you know, subletting or leasing or things like that. So I didn't really have anything needed to keep me in Vancouver. If that makes sense.
No, it does. And that was one of the questions I had on my mind. I always ask people who make a shift from being fixed to being on the road for a while, like very pragmatically, like, do you have a house? Like, where was your stuff? Like, where did your stuff go? So you had been staying with your sister, renting a place with your sister. Did your stuff stay there or did you put it in storage?
Yeah. So I have very minimal things, because actually when my ex-partner lived together, a lot of the stuff was, it was his stuff, like his furniture, his couch, his TV. So I didn't have to move anything. So all of my things were just my clothes and like my now desk and my iMac. So I didn't have very much to store.
Okay. So, and it just stayed with your sister while you were gone. All right. Very good. Yeah. So this is happening in 2022. And what was the call to Costa Rica as opposed, like, were you looking for like something island, something exotic? Had you been dreaming about Costa Rica? Like share with us what was it? Or did you just pick it because it was the available ticket online?
I think I was definitely looking for tropical places. I love places that are hot. I just thrive in heat.
What time of year was this? What was this in the winter?
Yeah, it was November.
Okay, so it's a very, so I live close to the tropics. So like, yeah, when it gets cold, people come south. Do you want to go
yes.
warm place? Okay. All right. So
yes.
Sorry, I did interrupt you there, but all right. So it's November. Okay. You're looking for someplace tropical. Anything else?
I've been to Mexico, so I was like, oh, maybe I should try something new. Like I'm thinking about like the different countries, and yeah, it just called to me. I don't know.
All
I
right.
guess I don't really have a straightforward answer with that, but
no, if that's what it is. All right. So then, what were your plans when you got there? Like, did you have a hotel reservation, an Airbnb? What were your thoughts about what you were going to do in the beginning when you got there?
I just wanted to be by the ocean. I love the ocean. It's super healing for me. That was like my main goal, to be around the ocean and be in heat and nice weather. So I booked an Airbnb that had a really nice pool. So I had my own little house and had a pool, shared with the owner that lived right around it. And then that was the plan, just to get there and see kind of how things went. And it was amazing.
All right. So now with Costa Rica, you actually have a choice of which ocean to be. Like, so you can be on the east or west coast in Costa Rica. So where did you, what part of Costa Rica were you in?
I
to
was
start.
in
I mean, you may have gone to more, but tell me where.
Yeah, I went to Playa Grande,
Okay.
Which is on the west coast.
The
It's
Pacific
just
coast,
right up, Pacific coast. It's right above Tamarindo.
Yeah, been there.
Pronouncing
Yep.
It right.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's like a 30-minute drive from Tamarindo to Playa Grande. It's a very small town, actually. It's very quaint and cute. Recommend
so
it.
you had a project then to get there because you flew into San Jose and then you had to like, because it's, you have to drive across to get there. Tamarindo is like a surfing town.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Playa Grande. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. So very, yeah. So that's, I've done a surfing lesson in Tamarindo. That's
Oh,
my
very
connection,
nice.
which is very nice because it's one of those places where the waves are like timed.
Smaller.
They're like consistent and timed. Like it's all, like you're in an amusement park, except it's natural. And so all the surfing instructors like line up with all of the people like me from hotels. And it's like super consistent. They can just send you off and go, I had a great day. I had a wonderful day. I'm a big fan. All right.
Yeah, I love surfing.
I can't even say I know enough about it to say that I love it, but I had a wonderful time. It was a really great place. So it was super, super fun. Okay. So you've got your stuff with your sister. You book a one-way ticket. You go to the beach. How long do you stay there? You just chill for a while? Like what's the beginning of this journey like?
I stayed there for 2 weeks in this small little town, and I got to know some of the locals, some of the people that I've, I guess, moved down to, like from the States to that area as well, because there's a lot of property that people own right in Costa Rica. I surfed. I ate some Costa Rican food. It was just very quiet, peaceful. There's a lot of cute cafes and restaurants in that town. And then yeah, I swam in the pool in the ocean,
and
and that was
enjoyed
my
it.
2 weeks there. Enjoyed it, yeah.
So was this for the first 2 weeks? Was it really more like vacation than like working remotely, or were you still working?
I was definitely still working.
Definitely. So the whole time working remotely.
Yeah, but the beautiful thing is, I make my own schedule, so I didn't have to work 5 days a week for 8 hours. Like I definitely had full days off to explore, to walk around and stuff. So
All right, very good. So now all I know about the next part of this journey is that you say you spent the next few years traveling solo. You spent a couple weeks in this small town that I've already forgotten the name of. And then what happens? Like what happens next?
So I fell in love with traveling alone. And I
Okay.
was like, you know what? I'm going to continue this indefinitely.
And did it, was that like a very, like you were like, I am going to do this for as long, for indefinitely, or was it just like, I'll go to the next place and try some more?
It was more like that. I'll go to the next place and try some more and see kind of how it went. But
Okay.
you know how some people, the first time they travel alone, they like absolutely hate it and they just need to go back right home right away. I didn't have any of that. I didn't miss home.
Yeah.
Homesick. I was just like, let's freaking go. Let's go and explore.
Okay.
So I ended up flying down to Colombia because my friend at the time had been living there. So I went down to Colombia and I visited there for a few weeks. And then I did a whole like world tour after that. Like after Colombia, I went around Central America. And then 2023 was like the most travel I've ever done.
Okay. All right. So you start in Costa Rica a couple of weeks. How long were you in Costa Rica total?
2 weeks.
So 2 weeks in Costa Rica, just on the beach. That's the only part of Costa Rica you saw.
Yeah, didn't move.
All right. Yeah. So you didn't even do the rainforest and the cloud forest. Okay. So,
No, I wanted to go.
did you see when you were in the beach town? Do you have monkeys in your beach town?
Don't remember seeing monkeys, but we did go to a waterfall. I can't remember the name of it, and there were monkeys there in the
Okay,
forest.
yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So when we stayed near the beach, there were howler monkeys, which is what is just closely tied to my memory of
Oh
Costa
my gosh,
Rica.
yes. Yes,
Okay.
yes, yes. Now that you've mentioned it, yes, every morning at 5 in the
Yes.
morning, they would howl. It would be I didn't know what it was, and
Yeah,
then
it's very
the EMB host.
loud.
Yes.
Very, very loud.
How
That's
could I
the
forget that?
you've blocked it from your memory. That is so all right. All right, so at any point, all right, so at any point, were you thinking, did it flash through your mind like you were like, oh, I don't miss home. Let's keep going. Did it flash through your mind like, oh, I could go back first. I could go back and then go to another place. Like, did it occur to you like to go back instead of go to the next place? Or were you just like, next?
Next.
Next. All right. Very good. So
Yes.
I'm talking to Julia about taking some time and traveling solo and how it was an adventure. And I'd like to invite everybody who's listening and watching to join us in the conversation. If you head to Instagram and YouTube, you'll see that I posted a discussion question. You can jump in and answer it and join in and share with us what you think. I'll be there in the comments. Maybe Julia will too. Other people from the Imperfect Adulting community will be there. It's super fun. All right, Julia, picking up where we left off. So, how were you deciding how long you wanted to stay in the various places? And you shared that you picked Costa Rica because it called to you. It was a destination you really wanted to go to. You picked Colombia because you had an acquaintance there, somebody that you knew. How were you picking where to go to from the next place, and how were you deciding how long to stay?
Again, a really good question. So my next place after that was Guatemala. I'm trying to remember why I picked it. I think so a factor for sure is like distance. I didn't want to fly too far. Being in South America and Colombia, I was like, oh, there's Argentina, that would be cool, and there's Brazil, but it was a little further away to fly. So I chose Guatemala. You know what? I can't tell you exactly why. I definitely did some research about like what to see, and I'm very much drawn to, actually, no, sorry, I do remember. I'm very much drawn to being in nature
Okay.
and being around ocean, being in the forest. And I did some research in Guatemala and learned that there's a lot of really beautiful places to stay and places to see. Antigua is a very cute colonial town, and it was like a 3 hour flight from Colombia direct. So
Okay.
that was my next destination. It's actually one of my favorite places out of all the places I've went to. So
Okay. And was that how you kept deciding, or as you kept going in this journey, like was that sort of the factor, like what's close, where can I be out in nature? Like what were the things that helped you decide where to go?
Yeah, I would say proximity if it's like an easier flight based on where I was previously. Obviously safety is important as well. Nature
All right.
important. Yeah.
Very good, very good. And how did you decide how long to stay in each of the places?
So Guatemala, I stayed for originally planned for 2 weeks and I extended for an extra week. And the only reason why I had to leave Guatemala, because I would have stayed there, is that it was actually my 30th birthday in 2023. And my friends had already been planning my 30th party back home in Vancouver, like weeks in advance. So I was like, well, I can't miss my own birthday and I should probably see my friends. So I
So you
literally
flew
went,
home.
I flew home, like, I think it was like 2 days before my birthday, and then that was in February.
All right, so that was one of the questions I had is, was this a nonstop point, like, here and then there, like hopscotching around the globe, or did you take time to come back for your birthday, for holidays, to see your family, that kind of thing?
Yes, we were getting there. So yeah, I did end up going home for a little bit.
Yeah, and so this start you started November. You came home for your birthday. I don't know exactly when that is, but did you come home for like holidays, or did you choose to do those like on as a nomad in foreign countries?
So when I went back in February, that was when I made the decision to not live in Vancouver anymore. So
Okay.
as I went back to celebrate my birthday, that was also the time that I was moving out of my sister's, selling
Okay.
that I had because I was officially leaving Vancouver for good. And then it was April. We did like a little farewell party for me, and then I went off again.
Okay, so this is really interesting. Okay, so you leave in November. You're gone November through February. And that in hindsight, that's like the trial run. Like, so you take the one-way trip, you do these couple months. When you come back for your birthday, part of that is that you're like, all right, I'm gonna go for this and do it. Put everything in storage, get rid of everything, and I don't know if I'm ever coming back.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's wow. How did that feel? So what did your friends and family say when you made that announcement? When you were like, I've been gone, I'm leaving again. I don't know if I'm coming back.
Well, I think my parents obviously always want me to be around. It's their daughter, right? And we come from a family of three girls. So and they're getting old. And my little sister, my older sister, they're off on their own too. They're not traveling, but we don't live close to each other. So obviously it was a bit sad for them, but yeah, they weren't against or anything like that. They were just like, be
Okay.
careful, your safety. Of course.
Okay. And
And
how
then
about your
my
friends?
friends, yeah, they were like, go enjoy life, live life.
Love it. All right, love it. Okay, so you already said this. So you've got your own business and you can set your own schedule, but there's more to working on the road than just being able to set your own schedule. Like, so let's talk a little bit about how you manage that going from country to country, because just going from like town to town in Canada or the United States, like from air, you show up the Airbnb, whatever, there's issues. Like, how did you manage the like logistics of having appointments and doing your work and being nomadic in different countries every few weeks?
Honestly, it's a lot. It's a lot to move around every 3 to 4 weeks. It's amazing. I'm very grateful to be able to do that back then, but it does affect your schedule because when you move into a new place, you're like settling in,
Yeah.
you're trying to get used to the area. Like you're trying to figure out like food and I don't know if like if you want to get a gym pass, like you're just getting used to the area and getting to know people because you're also alone, right? It wasn't too difficult because I actually worked n not very much, I feel like, in 2023. And I would schedule my calls on certain days. That's always kind of been my schedule. Like, I don't take calls on Mondays and Fridays with my clients. So I kind of had that more time
The long
to
weekend,
settle
yeah.
in. Yeah. So it wasn't too bad. It was just kind of the constant moving around and packing definitely does throw things off a little bit.
And did you run into things with connectivity issues, or did you have backup plans for if you had bad connections in places?
Yeah, so Guatemala had a couple times where the hotels I was staying at didn't have the best Wi-Fi, so I'd have to it was challenging a little bit in that sense.
Okay, and how did you manage, like, I switching countries every couple of weeks, changing currencies, dealing with credit cards, how are you paying for things and running your business? And I mean, beyond the fact, like, the first thing that popped in my head is, I was like, the first thing I do when I get to the Airbnb is I'm like, okay, what is the coffee plan for the next morning? Like,
Yeah.
But then there's also, and then it's like, okay, is there Wi-Fi? Like, am I going to be able to do these things? But yeah, like, how did you handle, like, day-to-day transactions? Like, was it, would you, I mean, did you have, or maybe was it the same? Did you just use credit cards and your bank at home, or were there any issues?
Yeah, so I use a combination of my card and cash. Some places only take cash, or if they take card, they put like 5% on it.
Yeah.
There's ATMs that you can pull out money. I find that that was the best way in terms of not kind of losing out on the exchange fees that you would get from the airport, for example. Though there's always a limit of how much you can take out, and then if you have a bank that takes a lot of fees from you, then it does add up. But thankfully for me, I get a reimbursement of like $20 every month. So it worked out well in terms of pulling
Wow.
out cash. And now I have a bag of cash of all like different currencies. Got like Guatemalan, I've got Colombia, I've got like Thailand, like baht.
We have a drawer with a little, like, dish with the coins, because you can't convert the coins, right? Like, and so we have all these random coins from our 30 years of travels, which, the
Memories.
combined, right, the total amount in this little bucket is probably, $7 or whatever. It's like nickels and pennies from other places. But the most hilarious thing is that we always say that when we go back to places where we've been, we will, like, take it with us, and we never, ever,
Oh,
ever do. Ever,
yeah.
ever, ever. It's like there's like that's like the we have pesos. Did we remember the pesos? No, we did not. We did not. Okay, so you we're talking about this as solo travel, but let's talk about what that actually meant for you, because I've talked to a variety of people who are nomadic, and it actually can mean a different thing from different people. So let's talk about, like, you were like, what was it? Were you alone, like, all the time? Were you making friends along the way? Were you joining up with groups? Like, what was it like? What did solo travel mean for you in 2023?
So interesting because it kind of changed over the time of me having more experience traveling solo. At first, I was just doing everything on my own. I was actually really nervous to go out by myself to meet people.
Okay.
And I didn't really, yeah, I just spent a lot of time alone and like eating by myself and going to cafes by myself. And then it starts to get lonely when you're traveling alone. Very lonely.
Yeah, that's what people say. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
so I started making the effort to go to events, like meetups, for example, for digital nomads, and going to the bar by myself. I'm like, okay, maybe we'll just go and dance and meet people. And that actually worked out amazing because I met so many amazing people throughout my traveling journey. And now if I ever want to visit somewhere, like they would offer me a place for to stay. Like yeah, it was really nice being able to meet people along the way and actually form like good relationships with the people that I've met.
Very interesting. All right. So, do you speak Spanish?
Very, I would say basically not very much.
Okay. All right. So, and
Little.
I, did you and did you travel? So, you went through Central and South America. Did you
Yes.
then hop to other countries, or was that it was were most of your travels in those?
So I actually ended up flying across the ocean to go to Europe. So I did a whole trip
Okay.
to Europe and then Asia.
Okay, so you really went all over. So Central America, South America, then through Europe, and then Asia. And then did you go down to Oceania, to
No.
Australia? Okay, all right.
No,
So,
that
but
I didn't.
you re and Africa? Did you hit Africa?
I did not in
Okay,
Africa.
all right.
Not
Not
yet, at least.
yet. All right. So very good. So, and were and you this whole time? So once you did that one trip back to Vancouver, you're like, I'm out. That was 2023. From that point forward, were you backpack on your back going place to place, or was there any time that you set up that you either came home or were stationary for like more than 6 weeks?
So in April, I booked a one-way ticket again to Nicaragua.
Okay.
And then every month I went to a new place. So I ended up going back to Costa Rica actually.
So every month. That's interesting. Have you heard of the 30 days in a wake up?
30 days and a wake up. That sounds like what
So
is.
it was, I don't know if it still is, but pre-pandemic, it was a program that you could sign on to for like a year, or maybe more. And so it was curated. They would handle the details for you, but it was like for 12 months, they would put you in a spot, and then after about 30 days, you would go from that to the next place. So, and one of
Ooh.
the, so when I heard about it, like, so it's like one of the things I heard about it because during lockdown, it was like somebody that I was, trying to find the end of YouTube because there was nothing else going on in the world. And there was somebody who was talking about how they had done that. And that part of the thing was it's like 30 days is enough time to become familiar in that one location and then you're ready to go on. Yeah.
Yes, that is very accurate
So
'cause buying
you
through
just stumbled onto that rhythm though.
I did because I, you know, now that you mention it, at the 30-day mark, I'm kind of like, okay, what do I do now?
Right. All right. So
Yeah.
about a month in each place, mostly in like one city within a country, or were you sort of bouncing around within the country in that month?
I did like small trips for a
Like
few
day
days.
trips.
Yeah, day trips. Yeah.
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 Oh my goodness. Okay. So, and what, how much stuff did you have with you?
I had one little suitcase.
Oh my gosh. Did you like replace it? And then how long were you traveling before you brought this to a close? Like, was it, so it's 2025. This was 2023. So was it 2 years?
Yeah, it's been 2 years. Last year I stayed in one place for 8 months.
Okay. And
And I
so, all right. So before the 8 month mark, though, when you're traveling with one backpack, did you like replace the stuff in the backpack? Because I lived out of a very big backpack for about 9 months, and I was a student, so I didn't have any money. And at the end of those, like that, at the end of that school year, I like threw all of those clothes away. I was like, I never want to see these clothes again. I was like, how to make room for all the things I bought for the return trip? Throw all of this away.
That's funny. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So April until August. So August came around, and then my friends from Vancouver actually wanted to do like a friends trip. So we met halfway in Mexico City,
Okay.
and I flew from Colombia. And one of my friends, I bought a big suitcase. And I got it shipped to his house and he brought it down for me. And that was like my new suitcase with like it was empty, right? So I just bought stuff along the way and yeah,
And did that.
got
All
rid of
right.
stuff.
That's very, very good. All right. So you describe this as a spiritual and healing adventure. So what does that mean? Like what does that mean? Like what changed for you along this exploratory trip?
You know, a lot of it was like self-discovery and really figuring out what who I am, what I like, and what my life is going to look like in the next few years. And traveling brought that up for me because I think prior to traveling, I had more of like a fixed mindset, I guess you would call it, where it's like, okay, I stay in Vancouver. I raise a family, I buy a house, you know, I'm not never gonna leave, right? And I think a lot of my friends who've grown up here, it's like that's their life, right? It's like,
Yeah.
okay, you're born in the city that you grew up in, and sorry, you grew up in the city that you're born in, and you start a family, and that's what life is supposed to be like. And I always felt like I'm more unconventional. Like I'm a risk taker. I like to do crazy things, I like to explore. And traveling really showed me like what how much out there is that we haven't really seen as people, right? And it was healing in the sense where I kind of finally was able to do things for myself, if that makes sense, because I realized that I poured so much into my business and growing it that I sort of lost myself in it. I was working a lot, like 80-hour weeks, and serving my clients, which I love. but I started to kind of lose myself in the process, and I started to not really do things for myself. So I was healing in the sense that I got to work less and travel and have fun and do the things that I like. But in those moments, it was hard because you're doing things alone, or I was doing things alone, and it got very lonely. And I started to wonder, okay, am I on the right track? Like, I see all my friends, they're having kids and families. Like, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah.
So I did have a couple mental breakdowns, but it always made me realize that, like, I'm very grateful to be able to have these experiences.
Yeah, it is. So the idea of the nomadic life, I love to travel and I love to explore, but the pressure of being nomadic is a little bit different than just taking one single vacation, because as you are setting up in one place, you're just there for 2 to 4 weeks, you're researching the next place. There's no break. There's no like relax in a set spot. And so I do think that that's an interesting thing. I think it makes the process much more strenuous for the people who are doing it. I think that doing it by yourself, you're not sharing that emotional and workload with anybody other than yourself. Like, where will I go next? Where am I going to stay? What am I going to eat? What are the adventures I'm going to go on? And so to me, when I think about it, it's very easy, I think, for that to become a little bit overwhelming and be like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this? I should just go home and do what my friends are doing. But then I think that, you know, the other side is that the people who are at home are probably like, oh my gosh, is this all I'm, is this the thing to do? Should I do something else? This is like the process of life and discovering ourselves, like, right? Am I doing the right thing? So that's it. So you describe yourself as a risk taker. What are some of the adventures that would fall under your risk takingness, either before you started traveling or as you traveled? Like, did you do any wild and crazy things?
I absolutely did. I mean, there are times where I'm like, I could have got myself really injured.
Share. So you surfed in Costa Rica. What else did you do?
I almost drowned in Costa Rica. That was the scariest thing that's ever happened out in the ocean. I don't know if your listeners will understand the washing machine
term. Okay. Sure. Yeah. I think so.
But
you got topsy-turvied in the surf?
Yes. I got too confident. I went out deep into the ocean while my instructor was instructing someone else closer to the shore, and I tried to catch a wave, and I nosedived deep into the ocean, and I got washed 4 times in a row.
Yeah.
And I only had like a millisecond of time to breathe, and I remember on the fourth one, I was like, if I'm not coming up for air, I am drowning. Like, that literally crossed my mind. I'm like, I'm drowning. And thankfully at that time, my ex-boyfriend at that time saw that I was struggling, and he was like, okay, we need to take you back to shore. And then that was actually the last time I surfed. So
I've never been through that, like through anything that intensive, but I have been tossed by waves, and there is that moment of, you know, you're out of control. You don't know which way is up. You're pretty sure that it's never going to end. And you just realize what a wonderful luxury it is to be able to breathe all of the air around you all of the time.
Yes. Until you get washing machined.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one risk that I took. Yeah. There are a couple other ones where I did this tour inside a cave in Guatemala that honestly wasn't, I would like, I don't know what's the right word I'm trying to say. It was an adventurous tour, but it could have been dangerous, if that makes sense.
Yeah, was it in the context of, I've done several things in Central and South America that they, you know, like, it's fine. Other people are doing it. You know, you look around, you're like, other people are doing this. But then you're also like, I'm not sure if this would pass the inspections that happen where I live and call home. I was one place with like my kids in a cenote in Mexico, and we were climbing up this rickety wooden thing that they were going to jump off of into water. And I was like, There's no safety railings. There's no life. I was just like, I'm just going to go with it and cross my fingers. You know, it's going to be fine. Other people are doing it. What could go wrong? All
That definitely
right.
happens a lot
So,
when you're there in those places.
slightly sketchy but fun cave tour in Guatemala. Anything else that was like pushed your risk buttons that you were like, wow?
I'm trying to think if there's anything.
I mean, just traveling from place to place by yourself doing that is more risk than a lot of people will do. So I'm just curious.
Exactly. Yeah. I would say just like doing tours and stuff that they weren't, some of them were kind of, yeah, like
So, because just because you don't know what it's going to be when you make the reservation, you're like, sure, let's do this. And then you get there and you're like, unexpected.
yeah, like the cave tour, that the water, there's water in the cave. So and there's certain parts you have to go through really small holes, and you would
Oh, yeah.
like
That is not for
like
me.
it's a small hole into the water, and you have to find your way out to breathe. It was just crazy.
Oh my God. No, that is not for me. That is one thing. It's so funny. All the things, even as a small child, when I was like, I will do any of these things in a different combination. It's like, so go underwater, fine. You know, scuba, fine. Go in a cave, fine. When you put all of those things together for me, I'm like, rejected. I have no desire. Cave diving underwater, spelunking. It sounds just absolutely terrifying to me. So, and on the other hand, other people love it. Other people love it. And I love it for them. They can have all of the spelunking reservations. I'm not trying to get on my list. Okay. So, do you think that you could have had this spiritual healing experience without taking the plunge and doing this travel? Or was that just kind of the thing that needed to happen, that you needed to get out and spread your wings in a geographic sense?
Yeah, I think thinking back, I needed to do that. Because I think if I just stayed where I was at the time, I would have never grown. I would have never experienced all these amazing things and learned more about myself and how to be alone. Because I've always
Yeah.
been with my partner, right, for almost 4 years. So yeah, it was very much needed.
All right. One of the things that I think is really interesting about the story you've told today that was like coming up for me while you were talking about it is that I talk to a lot of people who have a similar realization that you have, that it's like, I'm on this path and I don't know if it's the right path for me. And I feel like I've lost myself. But the thing that gave you the sense of losing yourself was building a business. I hear about this a lot from people who are in long-term careers and also people who have spent a lot of time as caregivers, either for aging parents or children. But yours was in a slightly different thing, which is you're building a business. And I think that's really interesting just because it opens up the idea that this is something that can happen in a bunch of different ways. And that the path of reaching outside of your comfort zone as it is how you break the habit, maybe, is how you break the chains. Okay, so are you still traveling or you're back?
So I am back as of May in Vancouver, but I am off to Asia in October, and I have a small trip coming
Okay.
up in 2 weeks. But yeah.
All right, so you came back to sort of retool and reestablish a little bit. And are you staying with your parents, or did you rent an apartment? What's going on there?
Yeah, I've got my parents' place right now, which is really nice.
Awesome. That is very, thanks, mom and
Temporary.
dad. Absolutely. No,
Yes.
there's, listen, that's the way to do it. And it's the way to do it. All right. So in a second, we're going to do the final fun questions, but we talked about the fact that you built your business, that you worked while you were gone, that that's one of the things, you know, that's one of the reasons you were able to do this for such a long time. Cause people hear stories about nomads and they're like, oh my God, how do you make it happen? Right. Tell the audience what it is that you do. And if they're curious and either want to learn more about what you've done or work with you, how they should follow up with you.
Yeah, so I am a registered dietitian based in Vancouver, and I specifically specialize in helping people get to the root cause of their chronic inflammation. For example, gut issues we look at in practice, and I support a lot of people with skin issues as well, having my own personal journey with eczema. I combine functional nutrition, testing, nervous system regulation to help people take control of their health and their symptoms. In a non-restrictive and balanced way as well when it comes to food.
Very nice. Yeah. And how do you want people to reach out to you if they're curious?
So I'm kind of everywhere, but I'm most active on Instagram.
All right, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so you do have a special offer for the listeners, which is a journaling guide for busy entrepreneurs. And so you say your business thrives when you do. This guide was designed to help you manage stress, avoid burnout, and create more success without sacrificing your well-being. Normally, you sell this for $29. It's free for the audience. There's a link in the show notes wherever you're listening or watching the show. And the easiest way to get the links is always to be subscribed to the Imperfect Adulting email list, because then you don't have to hunt up a pen or open the show notes. It just comes right into your email box and you click on it. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. All right. Are you ready for the last three questions, Julia?
I hope so.
All right. Do you, I love that you're a dietitian, because this is even more fun. I write these questions I write these questions truly before I do anything else in every interview. And it always cracks me up when I have accidentally aligned it with something somebody says in the interview. Do you like ice cream? And if so, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Oh, well, first of all, who doesn't like ice cream?
I'm sure there's somebody out there that doesn't like it. You got it. There's endless possibilities for the humans. So yes.
I am a caramel chocolate girly.
Okay.
Anything All right, with very caramel good. And chocolate.
So do you guys at Vancouver, is that where, do you guys have Salt and Straw? Is that an ice cream chain up there? I think it's Canadian. Might be Toronto. I don't know. So Salt, there's an ice cream chain down here. I think it's Canadian, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Somebody will correct me, but they have a fantastic vanilla salted caramel thing that
Ooh,
is
yes.
Like really, really, it's really very good. All right. So if you had to pick one place on the globe and only one to give your current title of most amazing in quotation marks, which do you choose?
Based on places I've been?
Or yes, what you can make the criteria of how you're going to decide, but like one place of that you're going to call most amazing today.
Oh, this is so hard.
I know. This
Every
is a hard
single
one.
place is so different. Oh my goodness. I'm going to say Guatemala.
Okay. All right. Wait, what part of Guatemala were you in?
Antigua.
Oh, nice. All right. Very, very good. All right. Number three, what is a recent book that you have read or listened to, if you do audiobooks, that you would recommend to a friend, or in this case, everyone who's listening to the show?
I'm currently still reading the book, The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins.
All right. Very good. And are you enjoying it?
It's amazing. Recommend.
Very nice. Very nice. That's it, Julia Chen. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again. Please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.